I think I got it. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to our baby boomer service. Amen. I was reminded this morning that I barely made the cut in that generation. So, Thomas, thank you. So that was very encouraging. As well as this is the kickoff to summer, students, right? And as well as, you know, tomorrow we're celebrating Memorial Day, right? Okay, and we're going to honor our fallen men and women of our military service tomorrow. But today I would like for the current or past active military men and women to stand up to be honored as well. Thank you so much for your service. Not only in the Lord, but in the military as well. Like I said, this is the kickoff to the summer. I've really been thinking about, giving away my sermon early. If you guys can help me, Larry. But my message is going to come out of Ephesians 5. That's the main topic there. We're not going to stay there. But I've really been thinking about this particular quote in Ephesians 5:10. And Paul, you know, when he's giving practicals to the church there about fulfilling God's purpose in the church, you know, right slap in the middle, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. And by no means are we saved by works. We are saved by grace. Amen? It's the grace of God. But there's something that God is calling us to do, right? Not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And if, in Ephesians 5, let's see if I could. Here we go. Ephesians 5, verse 10, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. And to find out, you seek. You search out to obtain, to have an encounter with. The Bible talks about, like I said, in Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6, Paul gives the practical ways to fulfill God's purpose in the church. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul tells the church to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ today, you are considered a new creation. And that's what it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then chapter 5, verse 1, Paul refers to the church as dearly loved children. Also, in verse 3 of verse 5, he says, we are God's holy people. In verse 8, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says that you are the light of in the Lord. So wrap your mind around that. And in verse 10, like I said, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. Church, this is our highest calling, is to please God. Our tendency is to please who? To please who? Right. That's our tendency. You know, for all of us that says Jesus is Lord, we are called to please God. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, so whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. Is that our goal, church? In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, it says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. See, there's an urgent call to please God more and more with your life. How's that going? You know, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, this is right after Jesus got baptized. It says, and a voice from heaven says, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. See, God was well pleased with Jesus. He knew the outcome of his life. And when Paul talks about find out what pleases the Lord, he lays this down as an obligation to everybody that calls himself a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? And see, yet sometimes we can think of lordship as an optional package for being a Christian. You know, it could almost be sort of like buying a car. You know, you go to the dealership, you have that standard car, just a standard drive, but then he's like, hey, I have the LE, the XLE, you know, the sports edition, and it has all these bells and whistles. And they're good, but you don't necessarily need them. And I think sometimes as a Christian, you know, the church may sometimes say, only Alan needs the sports edition with all the bells and whistles. Maybe Steve McKenna needs that. I don't need that. I'm just a standard kind of Christian. I don't need the extra bells and whistles so that I could be more pleasing to God. And that's where we go south with our walk with God. You know, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he is writing, like I said, to all people, to moms, to the singles, to the dads, to the businessmen, to the housewives, to the students. He says, find out what pleases the Lord. He says, you find out. Mike, you find out. You find it out for yourself. Don't wait until Wednesday night or Sunday. You find it out. And once you find it out, you live it out. He is urging us to do this more and more. You know, this year I came across 25 years as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to be honest, it just seems as though my learning has just started. It's unbelievable how much you think you know, but you don't know. Let me talk to the children for a minute. All the kids, campus, teens, middle schoolers. Colossians 3:20, it says, "Children, always obey your parents." Why? Because this pleases the Lord. Children, do we want to please the Lord? I can't hear you. Okay. Amen. That's good. It's a command. This is not an option. It says this pleases the Lord. Now, me as a parent, I have my flaws, right? We have our flaws. But God commands us, children, to obey our parents. It's summertime. You feel like you're free. You want to do this. You want to do that. Please listen to your parents. They love you. They want what's best for you. Listen to your parents. Amen? Amen. Turn your Bibles over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 9, it reads, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continuously ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through our wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." You know, doing this study, I kind of got stuck right here on this passage because there's a lot in here, right? And what stood out was verse 9. Paul's prayer was a persistent prayer. He says, "I continuously and I have not stopped praying for you." Think of all the people that you have stopped praying for. You know, we could go through the fellowship and say, "Man, I'll pray for you," but we can get back here next Sunday. We hadn't prayed for that individual. Paul here says, "I have not stopped praying for you." You know, Paul says his prayer is a persistent prayer, and there's a purpose behind his prayer. You know, I was encouraged this morning coming in. You know, I was stopped by Jennifer Hood, and she said, "Brother, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing okay." She says, "I always pray for you." That moves me when I hear that. When I hear that people are praying for me, when you hear that people are praying for you. Church, let's pray for each other. These are challenging times for all of us. We need to be persistent and consistent in our prayers. And not only that, but we need to thank God for those who have been persistent in prayer for us. There's people that are praying constantly for you. And he says he prays this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And so in this passage, there's three things that kind of stood out that I want to touch on this morning. Amen. Number one, bearing fruit in every good work. You know, in all of our days here on earth, in all of our deeds can be good for something or someone. Never think that what you do or what you say can't be helpful for someone else. Whether you have money, whether you don't have money, whether you have an education, whether you don't have an education, your life can be helpful for someone else. You know, think about our jobs. And I know a lot of us have some challenging jobs on our campuses, in our homes, in our marriages. You know, we need to have fruitful living. The fruits of the Spirit need to just come out of us as we're living this life. Is fruitful living obvious to the people that are close to you? Is it obvious to your children, parents? The patience, the love, the joy, the peace, being forgiven. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to examine ourselves in 2 Corinthians 13:5. You know, I think that another thing that pleases the Lord is bearing fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about that in John 15. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. See, we have to remain in the vine in order to be fruitful, in order to please God. You know, you get the best plant. To get the best plants, you have to do some pruning. Pruning is a part of God's way of doing something to make you more fruitful. When God prunes, it will be painful at times, but helpful for us to find out what pleases the Lord. Amen. Growing in the knowledge of God. Church, we need to all be growing. If you're not growing, you're not moving. You're not helpful. If you're not growing, you never stop growing. You know, God gave us scriptures to empower us, not just for head knowledge. You know, the Bible talks about knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, right? Listening to God's word and enjoying being in his company. How's that going for you? Spending time with God. This is how you get to know someone. You know, I love my wife. I love spending time with her. I'm still learning things about her after 31 years. It just happens. You know, the more time you spend together, the more things you're like, ooh, I like that. Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you have a personal knowledge of God and Christ? This knowledge is not just personal, but it's progressive. It's moving. You're growing. It's sprouting. Are you growing in the knowledge of God? Are you pleasing God with this knowledge, with your actions? You may have it here, but is it coming out in your actions? You know, Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I'm not content with just a static knowledge of God. I'm not content with just a static knowledge of my wife. Do you know God better this week than you did last week? This month than you did last month? This year than you did last year? And how is that working out in your relationships? Because they're all connected, right? You know, if you're knowing God better, if your knowledge is increasing and you applying those biblical principles, those relationships are just wonderful. You're connecting. My last point is thankful living. I love that song, Thank You, Lord. I love that song. I think about that often. I think about what God has done in my life, and I'm just filled with gratitude. Giving joyful thanks to the Father. Are you thankful, church, for the plan of salvation this morning? How often do you think about the plan of salvation? Is that something that you reflect on often? Or are you so caught up in your world of work and school and things to do that you forget that you have been saved? That God loves you. Are you thankful for the godly relationships this morning? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my relationship with Alan Rouse. You know, I would have never imagined when I became a Christian 25 years ago that I would have an incredible relationship with Alan Rouse. It's the grace of God. God is good. We have one thing in common. That's Jesus Lord. Are we giving thanks through our trials? Are we thankful for the trials? Paul was. Paul says, you know what? Nothing else matters but knowing Christ. You know, God has qualified you and me to share in the inheritance of Christ. How often, like I said, do we reflect on that? You know, there is a pitfall to avoid to find out what pleases ourselves. That's our pitfall. We kind of, you know, look within to see what I have, what I don't have, and that becomes our focus. We need to focus on what pleases the Lord. So, church, every decision that we make this week, whether we're at home, whether we're at camp, in our marriages, at our jobs, ask yourself, am I pleasing the Lord? Am I pleasing the Lord in the way that I communicate to my husband? Am I pleasing the Lord in the way that I communicate to my wife? Am I pleasing the Lord in the way that I communicate to my parents? Because God sees it all and he knows it all. And I also want to encourage us this week just to write down 10 things that you're thankful for. Write those things down and read them every day. That pleases the Lord. God wants us to be full of gratitude. And I believe that a Christian that is full of gratitude, God can use in a tremendous way. But when you're looking at the negative, when you're grumbling and complaining, you know, I feel like God doesn't bless that. God is not going to bless someone that's just grumbling and complaining about their current circumstances. Because God has you in that particular situation, right? There's a reason why. So write down 10 things that you're thankful for. Whether it's your parents, whether it's your spouse, whether it's, it doesn't matter. Write it down. I know next week I'm going home to North Carolina to visit my family. I have five sisters and three other brothers. There's nine of us. You know, we're getting a little older, right? But I know what comes with that, going to visit my family. Drama, right? You know, I'm going to keep it real. There's drama that comes with that. But my goal is not to get caught up in that. My goal is to do what? Please the Lord. To go up there with an attitude to serve, to love, to overlook an offense. Right? Because that's what the word commands us to do. And I believe that God is going to assure that I am victorious next weekend. And hopefully my family will see the light in the Lord in my life. I want to leave us with this quote. In this life, you sometimes have to choose between pleasing God and pleasing man. In the long run, it is better to please God. He's more apt to remember. Right? God bless you.
Amen. Well, y'all ready to go out this week and find out what pleases the Lord? Amen. Mike did a great job helping us. Thank you, Mike, giving us that charge to go out and find out what pleases the Lord. It's our responsibility. Just reminded us that we can go have fruitful living and that it's a lifetime pursuit. And then, of course, to be grateful. And I'm going to remember that when someone forgets about me, that God is more apt to remember. So I'm going to go for pleasing God. As we wind down our service this morning, thank you for coming out. I hope that what we talked about this morning, Alan's class in the book of Acts, and the singing, and communion, and the sermon you just heard today will inspire you to want to get closer to God. Love God more. Love to have, you know, you're welcome to come back. Of course, we'll be back here next week at this time. A couple of special things I want to talk about before we go. We would be, as many of you know, Todd and Tracy Reynolds are going to be moving to Colorado, and they have been, they've had a lot of opportunities to say goodbye to a lot of people. I think, you know, I am wanting going to ask them to stand up for us. We would be remiss if we did not publicly acknowledge them for what they have meant to this congregation. They have served for we've been here over a decade, and I know they've been here longer than that and have served in the teen ministry. I know my family's, and I think everybody who's had teen children have been impacted by their lives. They've been working in a middle school ministry. But we just wanted to say we're going to miss y'all. And, you know, if you get a chance to talk to them in fellowship, we're going to have some fellowship here in a little bit. We're going to have a closing song. But I have a couple more things I want to mention. Is this has been a great baby boomer service. I hope you've enjoyed it. The teens also have something going on here after service immediately. If you go to the band room, the teens will find nachos. And you guys are going to have, but you have to wait for after the closing song, okay? And you get to mingle a little bit, but we wanted the teens to know that there are nachos in the band room, so please go over there and get some and have some fun. On a serious note, we have a prayer request. We got word that Paul Wong's brother died of a heart attack. And so we really need to be praying for their family and this time. So, and just keep him and the family in your prayers. I believe they're probably, I know I haven't, I'm probably on their way, I'm sure. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to have a closing song, and after that you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for being with us today, this great service, to be able to offer worship to you. I pray that you will be with us as we go out from this place this week. I pray for a great time of fellowship. I pray that as we go our separate ways, we will be able to be together and communicate and stay together as we go through this week, and that we will find out and we will work and we will make initiative to find out what pleases you. We pray for the Wong family and the news we've just heard, that you'll comfort them and let us be there to build them up and give them whatever comfort we can offer. We thank you for your son. Thank you for his resurrection and the message that we get to give out to the world, and that we get to remember here today, that he's raised from the dead, he's been made Lord of all, and that we get to follow him and be home with you one day in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.